Either the podcast, and today we're going to be reviewing Spider-Man Homecoming. It will be full of spoilers, so you've been warned. As always, I'm your host, Kate, and I'm here with Adrian.
Hey, how's it going?
And Matt.
Hello.
What were your initial hopes for this movie?
I guess my initial hopes was I was excited for this movie, but I also did not want it. Hopes it wasn't a complete kid movie, like basically how the Ultimate Spider-Man, the cartoon that has been running for. Excited to see, though, Marvel actually do a Spider-Man movie, considering they were coming off of Andrew Garfield's two amazing Spider-Mans, which in my opinion were not that great.
Play-Doh Electro, I believe is what they call it. I heard like three different like Spider-Man reviews, and they were talking about Garfield's Spider-Man, and they both said that Electro looked like Play-Doh. Now, I actually thought that Jamie Foxx is a good Electro, but they likened him to Play-Doh. Which I can kind of see now.
But I thought Jamie Foxx out of that whole movie was probably the best character in that entire movie.
But I've only seen it once. I don't even remember what it looks like. I thought he was the most endearing character, I think, in that whole movie.
Yeah, that's how I
thought. He was. Yeah.
Compared to everybody else.
Yeah, Emma Stone. But Emma Stone's pretty much good in almost anything she does.
Going from Matt's comment about coming off of The Amazing Spider-Man, my biggest thing was I was hoping that the CG would look seamless. Because in The Amazing Spider-Man, in those two films, the CG is really, really heavy-handed, and you get like Electro Play-Doh and really weird looking spider webs because of how differentiated it is from the rest of the scene. So that was one of my main hopes, because I knew after watching Civil War that they were going to use like a CGI, CGI'd Spidey. And so I was hoping that when they did do that, that it was going to look good and not cheesy.
I think the biggest thing that I wanted was just a good Peter Parker and a good Spider-Man. I think first and foremost, because, you know, the first edition, and not like, you know, the first like 70s, 80s Spider-Man movies, but like the Tobey Maguire, he's pretty good Peter Parker, but he's an awful Spider-Man, and Andrew Garfield was the opposite. So I just wanted a good, well-rounded, actual Spider-Man where I was like, oh, that's a good Peter Parker, and oh, that's a good Spider-Man. I think that was my biggest hopes from what we saw in Civil War.
Yeah, and I didn't do like a detailed Twitter poll. Like, I didn't break it down into all four choices, but I kind of just ran one asking our Twitter followers and whoever like saw the Spider-Man Homecoming hashtag, whether or not Spider-Man Homecoming had lived up to their expectations, and 78% said yes, it did. Or no, it was 87%. There we go. Got those numbers slipped around. Said yes, it did. So I know that like critically it's gotten a lot of acclaim, but it didn't break any records, which I thought was kind of weird. It hasn't said anything. It hasn't said any box office like breaking news, this is now the top-selling movie type thing, which I was kind of surprised of. But if we get into like the bulk of the movie, this movie, we don't get an origin story, which I was really freaking happy about. I don't want to watch Uncle Ben die like 10 more freaking times.
I feel like everybody was just excited that we didn't have an origin story. Like, they could have put anything as long as it wasn't an origin story. Yeah. People would have been happy.
If it wasn't an origin story, everybody
would have
been there.
It's like watching Bruce Wayne's parents die. Like, I don't need that anymore. Stop showing me Bruce Wayne's parents dying. Like, I don't need to see Uncle Ben die again.
Yeah.
So I'm glad they skipped out on it.
And I think that's the good thing is we get Spidey pretty much. We get him post-Civil War. And the intro to the movie is this awesome kind of like, what is it like? Not found footage, but it's first person POV, and it's him experiencing what it was like to go to was it Berlin, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
To go to Berlin, and you know the little like hoarding himself like, oh my god, I took a shield, guys, and then like he gets thrown back, and so like. You get to see him and how he was feeling during that fight, and then it throws you automatically into his world. And this is a world where he's already decided that going home after school to be Spider-Man is what he looks forward to during his day. That being said, it's not because there's like some terrible thing happening at school. It is just because like Spider-Man is his life and he wants to do this. And that's where he wants to spend all his time. I believe they say that, you know, the Peter Parker in this world is in I'm trying to like do this objectively before we get into like how we talked about these things. He's in a kind of like a self-contained, I believe DJ, shout out to DJ Tech. He's a Twitch streamer who like really loves Spider-Man. He was explaining it and he explained it as a nerd school. So like everybody there is nerdy and everybody there is smart. And like being on the quiz bowl is equivalent to like being a jock, and like everybody has different parts of them that are super, super smart. So that's a Peter Parker that we get here. We don't get the Peter Parker getting bullied narrative per se. I think they try it. And then we get the introduction of a character that I thought was going to go really crappily, but Vulture. Vulture is brought to life by the great Michael Keaton. And I want to hear what you guys thought about his introduction to the movie, which is he starts off as a contractor to clean up all the mess that the Chitauri have brought, and then the government ends up taking it over, and he turns to a life of crime, making super weapons out of alien stuff. What did you think?
Well, the first thing I want to say is I got confused because he said 8 years ago, and I still haven't figured out how this is 8 years ago. Because
it's not 2020 yet?
Yeah. That threw me off that whole entire scene because he said 8 years ago, and I was like, wait a minute, I could have sworn that was like 2012 with Avengers 1 when all this happened. It's only 2017. I'm confused. So I could be wrong. And
like, no, you're not. I think that's something that like, I think that's something that at least Instagram pointed out, I think.
Yeah, no, like I didn't know if it was just me, but I was like, I feel bad because I literally missed it. I spent the first like 3 minutes while they were talking, literally trying to do math in my head, wondering like, and recap every single Marvel movie, wondering what I missed.
Yeah, I think they just placed it in 20, like this movie takes place in like 2020.
Okay. I mean, if that's what they're going with, that's fine. It was just.
Movies are not subject to time.
Well, we know that. But just the way the universe has gone, at least the MCU, it seems like they're kind of riding at least the same timeline of like with current events, per se. I did like the Vulture though.
Yeah. So back to the main question was, how did you guys like Vulture? Because he was technically still in a green suit with fur. What did you guys think?
Oh, they pulled it off so well. I thought it looked dope. That's like, I thought he's easily the best villain MCU's had since Loki.
Yes.
And they didn't kill him.
Yes.
So we are going to get more of him, which is like the best thing because Marvel just kills all of their
good their villains.
Yeah, like they just kill them off randomly, like except for Loki. But like it's just like having Vulture like one of his first, you know, villains like in the comic and like pulling it off as stupid as he looks in like the original comics and doing it well, I think is a huge plus.
In any other media of him.
Yeah.
Like, not even just in the original comics.
You should see him in the Ultimate Spider-Man, how they portray Vulture. It is awful.
he's just stupid. And then them able to, like, to pull it off is really great. Them being able to pull off, like, 3.5 villains in the movie, I think, is pretty good, too, with Vulture, Tinkerer.
And Shocker. And Shocker. Yeah.
Two Shockers.
It didn't feel like you were being overwhelmed with villains.
Yeah, like in Amazing Spider-Man 2 and Spider-Man 3. So
yeah,
I think they pulled off 3 villains better than, you know, anything else could have.
And I think they did that because I think they really trusted the fans to kind of get it.
Yeah, no, we've talked about it before. Well, we'll get into like Easter eggs and stuff like in nods later. But like, I think this movie does it so well of comic book nods, like better than almost any other Marvel movie really out there. Them not beating you over the head with it, and like if you don't get it, you're stupid, and you have to go back and read, you know, 60 years worth of comics to understand this reference. But yeah, Vulture's great. And then kind of basically setting up Sinister Sticks gives us more Michael Keaton, hopefully in the future. So I'm down.
I really loved that he still had the fur, but it was worked into an aviator jacket. Like, yeah. I thought that was really, really badass. Like, I can't... It could have been so bad, but it was so right. And I think my favorite thing was that his wings were a freaking mech suit. And, like, all of the little, like, feathers worked independently of each other. Like, the intricacies that they put into the Vulture mech was awesome.
Like, it's so much better than Falcon. Like, that was...
Yes. Like, yes. Like Falcon, why can't Falcon look like that?
As much as I like Falcon, like that is just way, 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 way better.
I'm just waiting for Falcon and Vulture to meet, and Falcon to, because you know they're gonna do it. He's just like, shit, Tony, why don't I have this?
I like the way they did the, obviously it was night vision, but they, I guess they attribute to the green, his way his eyes were with the suit and stuff. So it made it look almost like, because of the green light, and I guess it was metallic, it looked green for the most part.
Yeah, definitely. And I think they made, I think the really cool thing too is they made his suit, or I guess it wasn't even a suit, they made his wings fully functional. Like they used it as an airlock shield too, when he's doing that the hijacking at the end, right before the big battle. Everything was with a purpose, which is really refreshing to see in a superhero movie. Because a lot of the times they just jam in as much tech or whatever they want and like, ooh, look at the pretty things, and not all of this has a purpose.
Love Michael Keaton.
I want him in everything.
Anything that he can play wings or have wings.
Can he look like a bird or a bird-like character? Cast him. He'll do well. I guess going from that, I'm trying to like stay with the story here and not get too lost. But the other thing that I really like that they do is all of the characters that are around him in the school are actually established characters in different Spider-Man continuities. So Ned, his best friend, who finds out that he's Spider-Man, which in like the most awesome way possible, he's building a Death Star and then just drops it because Peter's like on the ceiling. And he's like, what are you doing here? I said we were going to come build the Death Star.
Yeah, it's like straight from like Miles Morales, which I assume you're going
to. Yes, that's what I was leading to. Yeah, Ned is a nod to Miles Morales' best friend. So they did really well at working in all these different characters. I don't know if we want to go into critiques yet, or do y'all want to save that for the end or do it as we go?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think just the amount of character, like I said before, like the comic book nods that they put in there are just so plentiful. Like having Betty Brant being like the awkward anchor on like the TV, like the school TV show,
well, I think is awesome. And like, and his Liz, his love interest Liz is actually the name of Spider-Man's very, very, very first girlfriend. She predates Mary Jane and Gwen Stacy.
As is Betty Brant, and having Betty Brant in there maybe set something up like that for later. You know, having an Asian chick named Cindy in there.
Cindy Moon.
Possibly sets.
We talked
sets
about
up
Silk.
Something for Silk.
Mm-hmm.
Having a black kid named Abe sets up probably Black Tiger. There's just so much in it.
And
they set up that world so well.
They did, and they also set up. They have Prowler in there, Miles' uncle, who nods that his nephew lives in the city. And it was played by Donald Glover, who, as we talked about in our Spider-Man episode, go listen to it, episode 24, was one of the bases for Miles Morales' character in the comic book. And he voices him in the television show. All that being said, they brought in a world of characters. Personally, I think, so there's two things. I'm going to do a good sandwich. So I'm going to give my critique right here, and then I'll say something good when I'm done. The critique was that they gave us really great characters, but I don't feel like they did much for me to know any of them beyond the surface, for any of the side ones, which is okay. But I feel like with Peter, you at least really got his connections with everybody else that was around him in at least in the previous Spider-Man movies, but also in the Spider-Man that I'm used to. I felt like there was a disconnect with his personal life because of that. It maybe wasn't strongly as played as we talked about. One of the big reasons him being important is that in the struggles that Spider-Man goes through is that he is equal parts Peter and equal parts Spidey. And I felt like this was heavily weighed on Spidey because we don't get enough of that cast interaction with Peter. That being said, holy crap, they did a really good job at making people look like high schoolers. Like, none of those people are high school age. And they all look like friggin' high schoolers. Like, I thought they were like 14.
Yeah. I've never seen
that done so well.
Like, I'm fine with them not going like too into depth with some of his friends and stuff, just because like this is like the intro. I want to know about Spider-Man. Like, I want to know about his coming of age before you start getting into all these, because they could have easily like given you, because the movie was already like what, like 2.5 hours long. Like, they could have definitely given you stuff on, you know, Cindy Moon, or like they could have given you more stuff on, you know, Flash Thompson, which you don't need. And I think it just would have like weighed down the story a little bit, yeah, in my opinion. But they also set it up where you could talk, where you could do more of that, because he's only like a sophomore in high school. So like and he's signed on for like five movies. Like, there's plenty of time for them.
I see what you're saying. And I guess, like, let me rephrase it. Like, I didn't need more background information on them. I needed more meaningful interaction between him and them. Like, I needed more meaningful interaction between Peter and them. Like, I needed his choices actually affecting what was going on with his interpersonal relationships on that side. But I do agree. I think they've totally left the door wide open to build a world, to build a Spider-Verse in the coming MCU movies, since the follow-up to this is going to be the start of the next phase. So, yeah. A good sandwich, because I have, what did you think?
I kind of been a little quiet, but I mean, I didn't care for a lot of the extra characters from the high school, honestly. the interactions, like you said, I didn't think they seemed very superficial.
Yeah.
Some of them seemed forced. There wasn't a lot of depth involved in them. I know it sets up a lot of the other stuff, which is great, but I guess it's other stuff down the road.
Yeah. I mean, and I do think too, I guess, I think the good thing that I did like about the fact that these characters weren't extraordinary, that they were just characters there, was this is probably the most diverse freaking Marvel movie or superhero movie in general when it comes to casting.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, and it was fulfilling a role that like a lot of people of color, like, we don't have to be extraordinary characters. Like, just put us in the fucking background. Like, make us look like we are a part of the world. I say that specifically because New York is a really, really, really diverse city. The fact that they had a cast of characters that was reflective of that was really nice, and they didn't have to be extraordinary. That being said, I thought there should have been like more than, like Matt said, superficial interaction with some of them, at least. Not all of them, but like,
how many meaningful interactions did you have with people in high school?
A lot.
How many of those people do you still talk to?
None, because they all had kids.
I thought they played high school super well. Like, you don't have, not every conversation you have with somebody is like gonna change your life. Some of them are just going to stupid debate meetings.
But what I don't get there though is high schoolers are really freaking petty. I remember how I was in high school, and if you blow me off, I'm not gonna take you to freaking homecoming. Sorry.
I guess that's what the whole, like, why I had a problem, because you talked about, like, guess when in these interactions obviously being either not meaningful or meaningful, you know, superficial as it are forced, was because I didn't feel within these interactions there was any consequences.
Yeah.
The Flash Thompson character design, whoever decided he was supposed to be the quote unquote bully and call him Penis Parker or whatever.
Yeah.
Whoop-de-doo. That was,
I guess, from this
unnecessary and horribly done.
So can we all just agree that Flash Thompson was a bad character in this movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Awful. Okay.
Yeah.
We're on the same page there, at least.
Because I love the actor, like Tony Revolori. I can't pronounce it. Yeah, he's awesome. Like, funny dude. He's amazing. I just didn't like him in this. I thought, and that's not his fault. Like, that's.
It was the writing.
Yeah.
That's what they wanted that character to be.
Writing for that character, I just could not stand. And I was like, this is just sounds awful and unnecessary.
It's really like only my glaring issue with the film for me is just that part, really. because I mean, I don't really like Flash Thompson anyway. I would have hated him if he was like a big stupid jock, and I hate this Flash Thompson. So like, I don't really know if I'm missing too much.
Yeah.
I already hate him. So I think that's kind of like the goal.
but I think the difference is like, at least with the other Flash Thompson, you hated him for a reason.
Yeah.
Because he was like tormenting Peter, like in a way that like Peter like physically had to hold in his Spider-Man self because he wanted to push back, but he stayed like he could have broken out of that, and he doesn't many times. That's part of his struggle while he's in school.
Well, he kicks the shit out of Flash Thompson in the first Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah, so, no, like, yeah.
I don't know how much he's holding back because he beats the shit out. But well, like this is well one, like just to like to semi-defend it, like one, it's a nerd school. So there's not gonna be a bunch of jocks. And then two, I think like a small nuance that they did with the character that like the other Spider-Man, like the original Spider-Man didn't do, is like they made him love Spider-Man, like the actual character of Spider, like the actual Spider-Man. Cause like he, in the comics, like he leads the fan club. So like them having him actually like Spider-Man is something a little bit different, which I did like.
Yeah, they did do that well.
See, since we were talking about a nerd school, and obviously we didn't get like the whole jock aspect of Flash Thompson, I wish they would at least made him like match at least, I guess, wit and smart wise for Peter. If you're going to try to have him like as a quote unquote bully rival,
he's going to be a bully, he has to rival Peter in some way. If it's not in physical size, because he doesn't have to be a meathead, like. Make him actually be intimidating in some way. That too, and I think the one thing that I also don't like is it kind of reinforces the stereotype that if you're a jock, you can't be smart, because there was nobody who looked that way at that school, and I don't like that personally.
It's not too far off. I mean,
I don't.
If you're a jock, you're not going to performing. You're not going to a science school, so you can't play football anymore.
I did. I went to one of the top biology schools in the country.
Yeah.
How much sports did you participate in?
I was a 3-year starter for my football team. I played baseball for 2 years. Also ran track.
Well, they don't establish that there's any sports at that school.
I guess what I'm saying is, and this is me honestly like coming out for the guys. Like, you can be an attractive guy physically and still be smart, the same way that there were attractive women, or like I guess Liz is attractive and is also known to be smart at that school. You can also have that equivalent there, and I guess Tom Holland's supposed to be that, but I don't know, nerds don't all look like the prototypical nerd, but I mean, that's neither here nor there. It wasn't a gripe with the movie. It's just kind of like me looking back at it and kind of wanting like Flash Thompson to actually give some of that struggle of what school is like for Peter,
I guess.
If you're going to bring him up at all.
Well, we're talking about the story. Like, I guess I was also bringing up the point, like, so he quits the team for the quiz bowl, or just quiz, I can't show up. So they're like, okay, gone. He literally walks up there like, oh, I can make it, guys. They literally kick Flash Thompson off the team and say, sure, hop on the bus. What consequences?
Peter seems like the bully. Because Peter comes in and he literally gets everything that Flash has in the scenes.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't even show up for the entire quiz bowl because obviously he got stuck in, I guess,
And there's the scene when they're doing the Captain America's fitness program, and like Ned puts him on the spot because he's like, Peter knows Spider-Man, and then Flash tries to make fun of him, and then that actually gets him invited to Liz's party. Yes. Like it seems like all, and this might just be like a conscious choice of then not wanting to show bullying for whatever reason, but it's kind of like everything that Flash does seems to backfire on him. Except, I guess, for calling him Penis Parker, but Parker wasn't even there to see it, so I don't see what type of
he effect. Left. He abandoned it was his annoying. Friend there the entire day, and his friend showed up the next day, like, "What happened, man? Like, you left me." But that wasn't a deal. Like I said, he didn't show up to the quiz bowl. Nothing happened to him. He got, I guess, some detention with Hannibal Buress, which
I wish he had talked more in that movie. And, I wish he had more lines.
And then he got to go to homecoming.
Yeah,
with the person that the captain that he pretty much abandoned.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
At least from that standpoint, I didn't see any struggle or any consequences. Even when he disappeared, all that stuff, all he said, told Aunt May was, oh, I lost the internship. She's like, oh, it'll be okay.
Yeah. Which I will say this, Marissa Tomei did not think she was going to be a good Aunt May. I like her. She's pretty good Aunt May. They're just not poor. But it's whatever. No. But she's a pretty good Aunt May. Like, I don't think Aunt May needs to be old anymore.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
I also think he's poor. He's trash digging to get stuff in the first, like, in Civil War. Flash Thompson is driving, like, a Bentley to, like, homecoming, and he's taking the bus, or, like, the train to get to school. Like, it's not like he's not poor.
I don't think that means you're poor in New York, though, because the majority of people take the train. And I also, like, I don't know, I guess because, like, I grew up really poor. Like, my mom wouldn't have taken me to go get a new suit. Or, like, if my mom burnt dinner, she would have taken me to go somewhere.
You, like, patched that together. Did you see it? I thought that was, like, a perfect example of, like, him not being poor. Like, they patched that his outfit together in that whole scene. They didn't go buy it.
Did they?
Yeah, they just patched together with stuff in the closet. No.
Okay.
He looks like a dork. Like, his shoes don't match his suit. No, they patched that together.
I thought the Converse was, like, an active, like, young people thing. I remember when I was in high school, we wore Converse with everything.
Well, this, like, is 2020, everything. So you don't know how the styles are then, so.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I guess, like, I just, but I don't know. We don't have too much background on their family life. But then again, like, the fact that I'm getting some of this wrong, like, it just, like, I don't feel like I know Peter Parker's life. Like, I don't feel like, I don't want to say Tom Holland was a bad Peter Parker, because I don't think he was, but I also don't feel like I got a good sense of who Peter Parker is, at least in his personal life. That's the only thing. Like, none of his Peter Parkerness sticks with me.
That's personal preference, I guess.
Like, that being said, though, he's a damn good Spider-Man.
I think he's a damn good Peter Parker, too. I think he's a better... He's more well-rounded than either of the other Spider-Man.
Oh, God, no. Characters. Well, I guess well-rounded as a whole, yes. But I don't think he's a good Peter... I don't think he has enough Peter Parker for me.
I think he fits what Disney's done with Ultimate Spider-Man.
You say that, but, like, you don't get they're a lot doing of... Ultimate Spider-Man. They're not doing...
I know, that's Disney. Why he fits exactly
that. No, like, the comic Ultimate Spider-Man, not, like, the newest Disney. Because, like, they're doing stuff from, like, the Spectacular Spider-Man in, like, the early 2000s that's based on Ultimate Spider-Man, the actual comic. So it's not necessarily, like, Disney Ultimate Spider-Man. It's just the Ultimate Spider-Man comic from 2000, like, 2009 or whatever.
I personally, like, I've read parts of Ultimates, and I've read Spectacular. I think that it played more into the Disney Ultimate TV show Peter Parker than it did those.
Yeah, not the Spectacular Spider-Man comic. The Spectacular Spider-Man TV show, which is based on this Ultimate Spider-Man comic. Comic is what I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah. No, I personally think it plays into the Disney animation, like, solidly.
Yeah, because, like, that's solidly based on the Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah, comic. Yeah, that's, I know that. Why. But you're, like, arguing that it doesn't.
No, because, like, you're saying, like, it's TV show. That's just the Disney version. Like, no, like, that's been a version of Spider-Man since 2000. Like, that's not a new thing. Like, that's been Spider-Man since 2000. Like, they barely just did a new Spider-Man, like, edition, like, now. That's the Spider-Man that people have known since 2000, since we were kids. Like, that's the Spider-Man.
I guess, too, like, I just personally don't really like the Ultimates line in general. The one Ultimates line that I did read, like, extensively was Ultimate X-Men. And I know that, like, the entire, like, background of Ultimates was to make all these old stories relevant to people in the 2000s. I didn't care for a lot of the Ultimate line. And that honestly, like, I just want to say this here. This was a great movie, and it's probably one of the best MCU movies that there is. Like, hands down. Like, this is just me nitpicking my personal preferences on Peter Parker.
I think they take the best elements or, like, comic book nods in The Amazing Spider-Man and put it into this. I think it's the best culmination of different types of Spider-Mans. Like, the originals in, like, Tobey Maguire's, obviously they don't have, like, the Ultimate Spider-Man to draw off of, but they also have the Spectacular Spider-Man to draw off of, but it's mostly just Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
This has Spectacular Spider-Man in it. This has Amazing Spider-Man in it, and it has Ultimate Spider-Man in it, from, like, stupid scenes like him not being able to web swing in the suburbs. Like, that's straight Amazing Spider-Man draws.
Yeah. You know,
the rubble scene, Amazing Spider-Man. The fact that he's fighting Vulture first is Amazing Spider-Man draws. Yeah. I think it has the best aspects of it without the woman beating and the basically just dickishness of the Amazing Spider-Man, Peter Parker.
Well, yeah, no, I agree there. Like, I agree with that. Like, I don't think it's bad. I don't think Spider-Man is bad. I just don't think I know Peter Parker as Peter Parker. because that obviously wasn't the focus of the movie. Like, his personal life, to me, like, that wasn't, it didn't mean anything. The whole, like, this was a movie about him becoming Spider-Man and learning what to do as Spider-Man and learning that, like, Daddy Iron Man says, you can't just wear the suit.
Yeah, it's an origin story without being an origin story. And yeah. The platform that they set lets you, you know, possibly do, you know, having like the Ben Reilly style costumes, like, sets up maybe doing stuff for like the Clone Saga. Like, the base that it sets lets you think, and he's not even at the Daily Bugle yet. Like, there's lots of time for him to have those like personal Peter Parker struggles, but you gotta set the universe first, which I think a lot of origin movies don't do.
Yeah, and I think you kind of said it last time too. Like, I just don't like on the Spider-Man episode, I just don't like young Spider-Man. I think that's just what it is.
Well, probably. Amazing Spider-Man spends like 30 comics like as in high school.
Yeah, like I think personally, I just don't like that because I do like the intense struggle that happens, and I don't think that that type of complexity is there for me in this. I think it can be, but I don't think it is.
No, it definitely can be. Like, there's some messed up stuff that happens in like the Ultimate Spider-Man that I think are more so struggles than are in The Amazing Spider-Man, because they're just kind of like superficial struggles and like dated struggles. I think The Ultimate Spider-Man will give you some stuff, if they bring it to life, obviously, like in the movie, that I think will be better than the struggles that we've seen in the other movies. Yeah. Definitely better than The Amazing Spider-Man, like Andrew Garfield movies, because he YouTubed how a battery works. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. No, I think we should transition into, I mean, Matt, do you have any like last input? Because I know that this really got to you.
I just doesn't. I have no emotional connection to this, and that's about it.
Well, and I kind of like just want to ask too, like, why? Because I do know, like, when we did that Spider-Man episode, and I mean, obviously from like hearing you talk about Spider-Man since we've been together, like, this is your character. Like, where I have X-Men, you have Spider-Man.
Basically, in the episode, I talk about how he relates to everybody. Last time I checked, nobody made me a $1 billion suit and covered me for everything, or I had an AI tell me what to do, or basically my nerd friend hanging on and helping me with every single thing and covering for me everywhere I went. The other one was alone. He did everything himself. He wasn't given a suit to basically do everything for him.
So you just
the whole third act is him not even in the suit.
That is literally the only thing that happened to him at all, this entire movie, as far as consequences. And I know that's bad. I mean, it's great, because, I mean, that's what happens. But, I mean, that was cool. But, I mean, get the suit back. I mean, I don't know. I said it was a great movie for what it was. It's fine. Maybe I just moved past that. And I said I'm not a fan necessarily of some of the Ultimate stuff in Moon Forward. So it just wasn't my preference. Honestly, but that's just it.
Like, hands down, though, I do think where Matt and I don't connect with the Spider-Man, I can, like, already I'm imagining a crap ton of little kids who went to go see that, or even like not even little kids, but like 10, 12, 13, 14 year olds that went to go see that and became Spider-Man fans if they weren't Spider-Man friends already. Like, I think that this movie is a great movie to bring somebody new into the fandom. And I think it brings them with open arms while still nodding to everybody who's already been here.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I'm a little older, I guess, and knew a lot of the older stuff. I mean, I went after this happened, and obviously I went to talk with people, and I just went and started asking everybody I knew that had watched this movie, whatnot. And they all kind of gave me the same, not necessarily, I guess, as in depth or meaningful, but the same answer to, like, they just didn't relate to this, and this was seemed like Spider Kid to them, and he just seemed really weak in this movie. And obviously he's a lot younger, so, you know, that is, but it didn't seem like they had the same connection, like what they knew from Spider-Man when we were younger. So that was it.
Yeah, and it might just be because we had the Ultimates, but that wasn't what we were reading, or that wasn't what we were really watching. So I think for us, it's just the disconnect. But I do think, like, that being said, like, all the stuff I've talked about him not having struggle in the personal life, I think even though he does have help from Tony Stark, I think when he does jailbreak his Spidey suit to take the training wheels protocol off.
Somebody jailbroke it for him.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Ned jailbroke. After he has Ned jailbreak the Spidey suit, he struggles as Spider-Man, and I think that's really endearing in a superhero. Like, I think that part is still there of, like, he does fall down. He does not know what he's doing, and he is finding out how to use these things with some help from, like, the AI. But I think ultimately, like, I think he is learning in those moments, and I think that he ends up having struggle within that. And he, like that, like you said, like the entire side of Spider-Man, and you can tell that this is where the writing was focused, was building up this father-son role between Tony and Peter, which I thought was really, really well done. And I know that, like, people are giving Tony Stark, like, some crap because I don't think it was good. But I think after Civil War and learning that relationship that Tony had with his father kind of more in depth, I think seeing him interact with Peter are some of the best moments of the film. And having him actually hold Peter accountable, like, being there to help him, but also holding him accountable for his choices that are being made as Spider-Man and saying, hey, you can't just go about doing this, I think that's really important. And I think that's what, like you said, Adrian, when he doesn't have the suit in the end, one of the most iconic panels in Spider-Man is Spider-Man fighting out of rubble. And for me, I thought it was really great to see it on film. And I don't want to detract from that. Like, it was a great homage. Like, that was awesome. I just wish I had more of the personal side to build into that, because in that panel, like, it's everything kind of falling on top of him. Whereas this, it's just in the movie, it's him realizing, like, this is a lot harder than I thought it was. I actually learned how to do this myself without relying on the suit. And then he bursts out of it, and, you know, you have great moments there.
Even though he did lose his suit, Ned still basically played Overwatch or whatever he was calling himself and basically helped him and actually saved him.
But he didn't save him from the rubble.
I'm talking about, like, to even get to the rubble part. But no, I mean, it's good. I think people love this movie. I think it's a great movie for what it is. I don't want to sit here and bash the movie because I thought it was good, especially for what Marvel's been doing for the MCU. It just, like I said, on a personal standpoint, I didn't have any connection with this, unfortunately.
And I do think, too, like, one of the best scenes, I will say, from the personal life side is when you find out that Liz, his love interest, is Vulture's daughter. Like, that entire interaction with him and Michael Keaton in the car is really freaking well acted. Like, Tom Holland does have the acting chops.
Oh,
in the future, bring us, like, some really heavy Spider-Man story arcs. Yeah, Tom Holland's gonna knock it out of the park.
Even in, like, the rubble scene, like, I was, like, legit cry. Like, that, I wasn't crying, but, like, you can see, like, he's legit.
He's emotional.
Yeah.
Like, he's, like, legit doing.
He looks like he's in pain.
Yeah, it's nuts. And that a lot of that comes from him, you know, being, like, actually going to school for this stuff. So we actually have
a trained actor. Yeah.
Spider-Man. And I think that's way more powerful than, like, anything any of the other Spider-Mans have done.
I agree there. Yes. I agree, like, there.
That was definitely
his upside is just out of control. Like, his upside is crazy.
If you give Tobey Maguire's storyline to Tom Holland, Tom Holland will knock all that crap. Like, it won't even be Spider-Man 2 is the best movie. Like, if Tom Holland acts that, who is Tobey Maguire? Like, he has all the abilities. And I guess, too, like, I think I want Spider-Man at the end. This, like you said, Adrian, this is Spider-Man in the beginning. And I can honestly say I cannot wait to see Tom Holland, even with my gripes with the movie. I can't wait to see him, like, more of him. Like, I want more of him, and I want to see him grow on film. Because it's going to be outstanding. Plus, he does, like, backhand springs and backflips for days without stunt doubles because he's a gymnast. I know I always bring up representation and stuff, but, like, I thought it was really awesome that, like, I think it was an even more of a curveball because, like, you're, like, the entire movie, if Liz was white, you'd be like, oh, yeah, that they're going to have a family thing here. They're going to have a family thing here. But no, Vulture's in an interracial relationship. And Liz is his daughter.
Yeah, like, I think, and the payoff for that is just, like, crazy. Like, so I don't think I've met anybody or even, like, read anywhere online where we're like, oh, yeah, I called that. And I'm pretty good at calling stuff. But I was like, it didn't hit me until he was walking up the stairs, and I gripped Stefani's leg, like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. And then it happened. And then, like, that whole sequence is just so amazing. Like, their interactions was just crazy. Like, and he's like, you can see he's legitimately bothered by it, like, as like a mopey teenager would be. Like, he's not just gonna forget about it and go have fun at the dance. Like, he's like legitimately like, this dude just threatened me with a gun in the car and then told me to go show his daughter a good time. Like, that's legitimately scary.
Yeah, like, I will do anything for my family. I will kill you.
Yeah,
he's have a great time. Like, Michael Keaton is freaking awesome. Like, his delivery on that could have been so cheesy.
Yeah, like, I think this movie does a good job of giving him a street-level villain, but still making that street-level villain scary as shit.
Yeah.
There's no villain in the MCU where I'm like, damn, that's messed up. Like, I can't think, like, Loki's great as, like, an actor, and, like, the stuff he does is great, but I'm never like, whoa, that was kind of messed up, Loki. Like, that's kind of scary. Sassy.
It's not...
Like, he's... Like, and Ultron was just like quippy. Like, this was like legitimately scary. And he's just like a low level villain trying to jack stuff. And he's like that scary.
To make a living to support his family.
Yeah. Like, that's real. Like, that's like a legitimate villain right there that would happen like in that time. Like, in that time period, there would be people stealing, you know, high tech stuff from rubbling and stuff. Like, that's legit.
They set it up because he doesn't even – this is not what he, like, wanted to do. This is not everything. He just got pushed to the limit to where he said, screw it. Let's just do this.
Yeah, like, I have to provide – and I think, like, that – like, as much as I've, like, talked bad about some of the parts of this Spider-Man, I'm legitimately excited to see where it goes because, like, at least, like, with the Vulture character and their interactions, that villain is freaking real.
Yeah, I think it – we obviously don't know what they're going to be doing for, like, the next movies and stuff, but if they don't do, like a Green Goblin thing, I think he plays, like, the perfect, like, pseudo Norman Osborn because he knows who he is, and he's not telling anybody. Like, he's keeping that super close to the chest, even with, you know, the guy who we know is going to be Scorpion in probably the next movie, maybe?
Yeah.
I mean, it's even without Norman Osborn, I don't think I need a Norman Osborn when you have Michael Keaton doing that good of a job as, like, that archetype of character.
I agree.
So I guess moving forward, because that was an interesting, I guess, almost subplot, since they did sell the Stark Tower, possibly Norman Osborn.
Robin Osborn might be moving into it. That's what I thought.
Yes.
Yeah.
Same.
Which is why, you know, the son isn't at the school yet. Maybe he comes in after they move in, and then you get that whole thing.
That's
what I thought. I'm with you.
Yeah, that's what I thought, because I know he mentioned it. As long as he doesn't look like whatever they did with Amazing Spider-Man.
Oh, God. Too. Yeah. I didn't even remember that. And move them out.
I was looking at James Franco.
Yes. And then you said the other one. I was like, oh, wait, yeah, that was.
James Franco was good. I liked James Franco.
I forgot all about that until that was brought up again.
And then I saw pictures like, oh, yeah, I forgot this actually happened. Oh.
I think most people block Amazing Spider-Man out of their
minds. At
least
the second one.
I'd block them both.
Yeah.
The first one I didn't think was great.
I can't even remember the first one.
Sadly, I probably can't much same. Either. But at least I knew it wasn't as bad as the second one. Because the second one, I'm like, oh, this was so awful.
Yeah. No, I think Tom Holland is the best choice for this character.
Yes.
Like, there's no debating that. Like, he was, like, Tony Stark was written to be played by Robert Downey Jr. Spider-Man was written to be played by Tom Holland.
Yeah, I can see that.
Hands down.
Yeah.
Like, that's, I think it's going to be good. And I think that's why I have such a gripe with the personal side, because I want so much more of it. And it may just be because I'm like, he's really good at it. So.
I do want to know what I was kind of at least a little disappointed in. I kind of want to know. Obviously, I know this was Spider-Man Homecoming movie and whatnot, but I want to see if he had any more, if they were going to show, I guess, you tease. Obviously, they had the videos with Captain America, but if they were going to show anything with the, I guess I know they're in post-Civil War, but anything related to that, per se.
Because they only nodded it where, like, the gym?
Yeah.
Yeah, Hannibal Buress is like, oh, he's a fugitive now.
He's a war criminal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know if we were going to get any interaction with that, because I know, at least from the Civil War timeline or storyline, that maybe not the MCU one, but the other one, that Captain America and Spider-Man.
Well, we do know that Tony Stark was doing something else.
Yes.
Because he was not... I guess usually we go through the entire movie. We've just been kind of jumping around. Like, in the beginning of the movie, he's sending the suits to go and police... to police Peter when he goes out and does stuff he's not supposed to, or gets involved in things that can be bad for him, you know, just to keep him safe. And at first is like, oh, thank you, didn't have to come here. It's like, I didn't come here. This is my suit. I'm talking to you on a phone while I'm in some random foreign country. So I'm sure that's going to play in somewhere, because nothing in Marvel is done without setting up something else. So
yeah, I'm fine with it being a little detached, at least in this movie, because like even at the end of the movie, he's like, I think I'm good with being street level,
yeah,
for now. So I think it's all right. Because I mean, if he would have came out and be like, oh, well, I'm Spider-Man, then he would probably have to. If he would have joined the Avengers, then he might have got more of like the Civil War consequences. He might have had to do like Sokovia Accords and stuff, which they were teaching about in the school, which I thought was awesome.
Yeah, that was actually really cool.
Yeah, there's like so many tie-ins that it was connected but not distant enough where it was like, oh well, okay, he's still street level learning Spider-Man.
I also think too, big or like not the big reveal but like the fun reveal at the end is Tony Stark proposes to Pepper Potts.
So glad she's back. I love Pepper Potts.
I do too. I love her so much. And Gwyneth Paltrow was made to play Pepper Potts.
Yeah, so good.
Awful.
She's a terrible, like,
as a
person, yes. No.
But she is a great Pepper Potts.
Get Goop away. But she's a great Pepper Potts. She's a perfect Pepper Potts. And I think that also lets us know where Tony is. Like, Tony is connecting with more people now. And it shows us that he didn't shut down after Cap. Because after that giant Cap blowout, I would have shut down. I wouldn't want to talk to anybody.
Yeah, I know, like, people were worried about this being Iron Man 4, which I really don't think it was. Like, I think Happy had more scenes than...
Oh, yeah. Happy played way more a big role than he did.
But you still get some of, like, the character development of Tony Stark even in this. Because even like, during the fairy scene, which people were like, oh, the fairy scene, I saw in the trailers. I didn't watch any trailers, so I thought the fairy scene was amazing. I didn't see any of that stuff coming.
I thought I saw it in Spider-Man 2, but that was bad.
I thought this was better. He doesn't do like a weird face. But just like him checking up on him, like, oh, I thought you quit band like 2 months ago. Like, shows that he is actually emotionally and like morally invested in him outside of just coming in and saving the day.
Yeah.
Like, he knows, he's been listening to, or like being at least being kept up to date on the voicemails that Peter Parker is like leaving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I completely agree. And I think, I just really like it because it gives us a different side to Tony. We've seen the drunk Tony. We've seen the PTSD Tony. We've seen the rich playboy Tony. We see the father Tony now, and I actually really like that.
Iron Man, father Tony, yeah.
Yeah, like I think it gives you a well-rounded Iron Man. I think that it's really great to see him in NBU kind of fleshing out, but it also makes me scared because I know somebody dies in Infinity War, and you don't complete somebody's character development unless you're going to kill them off. That's because I love Robert Downey Jr., so that makes me sad.
I just really hope we see that Iron Man Spidey suit again.
I thought that suit was awesome.
It looked legit.
But I hate Iron Spider, and it resembled Iron Spider.
I thought it looked good.
It looks really good. I'm just worried about
Iron Spider. I thought it looked good. Looked a little bit, but looked like a little mix of like Iron Spider and like, why is it escaping me?
Rip.
I can't remember. It's like a mix of like the Iron Man Spider suit and like the Scarlet Spider, like kind of
together
a little bit.
Okay.
That's why I was like, oh man.
Yeah.
They're just doing all kinds of tie-ins in this movie.
Yeah. No, I mean, I love the suit. I just don't like Iron Spider.
Gotcha.
Can we
talk about MJ? Awesome.
Yeah.
That was dumb.
I was like, do we want to? Because I was like, I thought it was dumb. So,
yeah.
It was dumb.
I would have been fine with it, But with as much as freaking Zendaya was actually like promoting this movie, she did nothing. I got nothing out of it. So the big, like, you can call me MJ, that meant nothing to me. It meant nothing. It was
cool. Yeah. It was like the only problem I had with the movie is Flash Thompson and MJ. It was just so dumb. Like, you didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
There was no reason for you to do it. I'm just hoping they make her like, oh, her name's just MJ, but like
she moves away and they get a new character.
Right, but like hopefully like her it's like Michelle Jameson or something and they just no, try
it
to like
is. It is. It, yeah, no, she has a different name. It's not Mary Jane.
Yeah. Yeah, I know it's not Mary Jane, but they could easily but like knowing movies and stuff and as much as she was like in the promotion for this movie, like they could easily make her MJ.
Yeah.
If they wanted to. But I'm just hoping that they just like make her, you know,
go away.
Something else.
I didn't like it. I mean,
MJ.
I felt nothing for her. Like, I don't. And this goes back to what I was saying. Like, a lot of the side characters were throwaway characters, and I didn't care about them, except for Ned. I loved me some Ned.
I liked her character. I thought she was funny. I thought she played like the edgy, you know, I don't care about anything kind of person. But that's not what Mary Jane is, and like that's my problem with it. Like, I don't have a problem with like that character. I have a problem with that character not being Mary Jane. If they would have made her Mary Jane and she would have been how Mary Jane is in like comics and continuity, that would have been okay. It's the same problem I have with Flash. Like, you can make those characters different than the comics in terms of like diversity, but at least make them like
resemble the character in the comics. Yeah.
Make them at least resemble, you know, personality wise. Like, that's nothing like Mary Jane. Like, yeah, make them fit the arc.
The race isn't important for the character. Just make them fit the damn arc. Make them fit the story.
A lot of redheads out there will disagree with you.
Are the redheads really mad?
Can you name any other famous redhead?
That's a fair point.
Yeah, that is a fair point.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
there aren't any other redheads.
Much as like people like made a big deal, I'm like, she needs to be redhead. And they're like, oh, whatever, white redhead. No, like, redheads don't get much, seems like. But that was one character.
I couldn't even make her ready. But hold on, man, she's not Mary Jane. And I'm just like angry for nothing. But which is one of the things I hope they change in the thing. It's not enough to like to make me like not like the movie, obviously. But it's just when I, in the theater, like I rolled my eyes so hard.
That's how I did.
On same. That card. Yeah. I also want to point out too, like, I think you kind of just reiterate what you said, Adrian. Like, it doesn't matter that Zendaya played MJ. It was just that she was MJ, and it was a poorly built MJ. It was a poorly like constructed idea of MJ.
Yeah, I would have much preferred like some new girl coming into the school at the end.
Yeah,
and asking what her name is. Like, oh, that's MJ. Like, oh, sweet, you just set up, you know, the love interest.
Somebody that you had not seen the entire time.
Yeah,
just
I would like that.
Then you can do the call me MJ scene.
Yeah,
but. Yeah, and then Flash just wasn't Flash. Like, I have no problem with him being that actor. It's just like, you did nothing to actually make Peter feel bad.
The only problem I have with that actor was I guess because he's played in a lot more comedy roles, at least one of them. He doesn't seem, I guess, imposing when you compare him towards Peter. Like, when they, like, go face-to-face or look at each other, think he's not imposing at all in any way.
He doesn't look comfortable doing that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, he doesn't either physically smart or anything. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This just seems like totally forced.
Yeah, they've played the character down so much that when the actor actually has to do it, it's just kind of like...
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that... And I think that there are just some actors who can't move in between those two different types of personalities. But yeah, so I guess, as always, where do you all rank it? Adrian?
In terms of like comic book movies, probably, I don't know, maybe like 6 or 7, maybe 5. In that range.
Are you including all the comic book movies?
Yeah.
Or just MCU movies?
Okay. I'm just thinking MCU.
Comic,
I
mean, then MCU.
I mean, the only comic book movie that I put like in like my top 5 or top 10 would be like Dark Knight, really. I don't like any of the other ones, really. I liked it better than I liked Wonder Woman, so it's definitely my favorite comic book movie of the year.
Better than Logan?
Did Logan come out this year? Was that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. This was so long ago. Oh yeah, it was like in March.
Yeah,
I'm in like summer movie mode. yeah, I mean below Logan, above Wonder Woman.
Guardians?
In terms of like above Guardians too. I
Okay.
I liked Guardians 2, but it's definitely not one of my favorites of the year. And for Spider-Man movies, it's my favorite Spider-Man movie. With Spider-Man 2 coming in at a close second. Because I really enjoy Spider-Man 2.
Matt?
I have to put it below Logan. Guardians. I had more fun with Guardians. Maybe I'm too old. It was Spider-Kid in some way to me, so I couldn't in other stuff. But yeah, a little bit below Guardians. Better than Wonder Woman. As far as Spider-Man movie, Spider-Man 2 will still beat this one.
And then overall?
Overall? Out of thing? This is hard for me because I think as an overall movie and everything that they did and how they did it, I think it's up there as far as like as well done. One of the best movies, like you said. But as far as just personal preference, it's just probably maybe in the top five down there.
Does it beat the Thors?
Yeah.
Okay.
Come on, don't disrespect this movie.
Yeah.
Don't bring it to any floors.
I don't know. Much.
If you listen to her Meet the Editor, Asa puts those Thors in his top five. So
Asa is British and knows nothing, obviously. So 1776, fool. Come on.
That's when history began.
Yeah. Exactly.
Kate?
So for me, I think overall, Spider-Man 2 is going to take cake for me. I texted a couple of friends about it. Like, I have complicated feelings because I acknowledge how good of a movie it is, I guess, kind of like Matt said. But it wasn't the Spidey I wanted. But if I just put that aside, it definitely falls probably, it's top 10 for me. I would put it... Logan's better, I guess, like within the top 10. I would put it, I guess Wonder Woman was my 10, so I'd put it above Wonder Woman for sure. I'd put it above Guardians 1, and then I'd put that, and then I'd put everything else up, excluding Thors and Hulks and all that crazy crap.
Speaking of which, just a quick comment, I completely forgot Hulk was even around until when I did the thing with Asa, and he mentioned the Hulk. And I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot that was actually a movie.
Oh, we don't talk about those.
Mark Ruffalo, that's it.
Yeah. I think why I like Spider-Man 2 so much is because it just improved. It does what like good sequels are supposed to do. Like, you're supposed to improve off the original thing. Do you think that Spider-Man Homecoming, like this Spider-Man, has a higher, like, do you think the ceiling for this one is higher than the Spider-Man movies with Tobey Maguire?
Yes.
What story arc are we using? All right. What are we able to bring in, I guess?
I mean, you can literally bring in anything in these next movies. I think
the potential from it, like what it sets up.
That's why I think Spider-Man 3 did so bad, because you put the Green Goblin, and then the next movie you did Doc Ock. Like, you put two of the biggest villains he ever faces right away. Like, I think there's more room for you to do things like Sinister Six or like the Clone Saga or... You know, Venom's going to be in the universe, so you can do that eventually, too.
I honestly don't think you can do Venom in this MCU.
I think if you do Venom, it has to be way down the line.
I mean, that's not besides my point. I'm just asking if, like, you
think the ceiling
is higher for this.
I totally got off on there.
I think it's because we know a Venom movie's coming. I think that's why I said that.
Yeah.
You want me to answer?
Yes, you answer.
I do think the ceiling is higher. Like, I think Spider-Man, MCU Spider-Man 2, I think will blow Spider-Man 2 out of the water. That much I do say. And I put that solely in Tom Holland's capability to act.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Like, do you think Spider-Man... Yeah. Homecoming 2, whatever they decide to name it, will be, better than this or better than any of the other ones.
Yeah, and I think so
as well. I think it's going to be amazing if they do what they did here and translate it and give you, like, a hard storyline that's going to make you feel stuff, like, because, like, you know he can make you feel. I think they'll do great.
Yeah, and I also think, too, I just want more Michael Keaton.
Same.
and
please do Sinister Six. Like, please do it.
And I think, too, like, it has, like, that ceiling has to be high because the next phase is going to be riding on Spidey's back.
Yeah.
So.
Oh shit! We forgot to mention Spider Sense.
Licensing.
A lot of people were mad that he didn't have.
I actually was upset, and everybody I talked to was actually very upset about it.
But
Spider Sense not having Uncle Ben in it. I think there's like more things to be upset about other than not having Spider Sense.
I don't care about Uncle Ben.
Like, you know he has.
Well,
Spider-Man, of course.
I guess that was the whole thing.
They said he didn't have it. It's not he has it and it's late. Like, they said he does not have Spider Sense.
And I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was a conscious choice.
It's not their fault. I mean, you gotta differentiate something.
It was a conscious choice to take it away.
I thought it was because it was like licensing and stuff and they didn't want to like connect it to the.
No.
Okay. This is our review for Spider-Man Homecoming. If you think we left anything out, make sure you let us know and we will talk about it. We're always looking for interaction, and I actually wanted to make sure that I give a shout-out to, I'm probably going to mispronounce this, but at Laotian Vulpes? I'm not sure, but I talked with you on Twitter about the terrible Flash idea. We had a really constructive conversation about some of the stuff that I felt that it left out, the Spider-Man Homecoming left out. So, always at us. I am at Oh My Myth Randir on Twitter and Instagram. Adrian?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at SuperReese93, SuperReuiz93.
And Matt?
Find me at Twitter, on Twitter at ThatM18, DATTM18.
And you can find the podcast at ButWhyThoughPC on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We will respond there as well. I'll put some Spider-Man pieces in here. Bye, guys.